Back on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I don't know what Burke's Bentley.
You're gonna have your lighter up in the air.
This is a.
People do that still.
Yeah.
I've been doing concert.
This is a wave your arm. It's a quiet one. It picks up though. It picks up. It's just it's a little slower to kick things off.
It's a long trip to.
Bud stage.
The part of the song that gets.
Yeah, you're close.
We tried. Let's segue because that was not good. to our next guest, Bruce Boudreau, former NHL head coach, Jack Adams Award winner, and hangs out on the panel on the NHL Network with our buddy Jackie Redman. Bruce, let's start there. I mean, we saw the clips, the screenshots. We saw the digital short for the WWE. How was your night at Raw, and how did this all come together?
Well, first of all, it was a lot of fun. We've known that they were coming to Hershey, and that's about a mile from my house. So when I met Kevin Evans through Jackie at the draft last year, we started talking and became friends, and he just invited me to the matches, and I said okay. He got me tickets. I didn't know they'd be front row, but then he invited me backstage to meet some of the wrestlers, and then he said, "Hey, could you want to do some social media after?" And I said, "Whatever you want." And he put that skit together like in 2 seconds, and that was it. But it was a really enjoyable evening to see these guys close up and to see how athletic they are and how much fun it is. And so it was a good experience.
Well, you nailed the script on the fly there. We played it on the radio yesterday. It got everybody fired up, like want to run through a brick wall when we heard you. We did talk to Jackie yesterday as well, and she was excited that you got that opportunity because she knows how much you love your wrestling. She also did mention that maybe you dream of being a manager and getting yourself in the WWE ring. So is that true? And how do we get that to happen?
I can't even picture that, but I told Kevin last night, I said, we should do something where I come out and kick Paul Heyman's butt. He's both my size. And we laughed about it. But, I mean, him and Sami Zayn are big hockey fans, and we were actually talking more hockey than we were wrestling in the evening.
What would your name be, your moniker? Like, how would you, I know I'm putting you on the spot.
Would you be a heel, Bruce?
Would you be a heel? I think you'd have to try.
Well, you know what? It's funny. When I phoned some of my, or told my friends that I was doing it, they said, you got to turn heel on them. Yes. Right in the middle of it. You go behind, you get a kendo stick, and you just whack them in the back with that. I said, that would be pretty funny. Somebody, like, I can't remember it, but it was a friend said last night, okay, you're going to be a manager, and we'll give you the name, and I forget it, but it was really funny. It had something to do with old age or something, but it was, I thought it was cute. So, it was a good evening and a good memory, quite honest, I'm still think of myself as a hockey guy.
There you go. Still maybe workshop in the name, but you got the choice of weapon, the kendo stick, ready to go when it's handed to you.
I can't lift the chair. I don't think I can swing the chair.
Yeah, right.
I feel like they got rid of the chairs. The chairs may be a little dangerous in the age of concussions. Let's transition to the Maple Leafs here, Bruce. And you have a keen interest in the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're following them. And I wonder, after everything we've seen over the last couple weeks, and, you know, sort of the uncertain future, do you worry about the future here at the Toronto Maple Leafs?
I don't think I worry about the future. I mean, they got so many really good players, and I mean, they run a top-notch organization. So, I mean, to fear it, I mean, I don't think that's the word I would use. I mean, the only thing that good teams usually end up having a lot of times is the lower draft choices, and they got to make those draft choices count. And the Leafs have been so high up in the schedule, our schedule in the standings lately. I just, the line of good young players coming, I hope, and I don't know their juniors or their minor league guys or what have you very well. And so it's, just hope that the pipeline keeps coming through, bringing good players.
So it is an organization. It's been a top-notch organization for a very long time, but I guess maybe for the first time ever, we saw a little bit of the cracks, and maybe that's just a product of a relationship that dissolved between Brendan Shanahan and Kyle Dubas. But it forced Shanahan into doing something he normally doesn't, which is, well, address the media by himself, but also be, like, brutally honest and kind of open the doors and let people into the actual inner workings of a front office that generally works in silence. That honesty that we saw, how would that impact the people that work inside an organization?
I mean, personally, I think I think they would say, well, that's great, because now there's no room to go for stories or, misrepresentations. I mean, the timeline he used and everything, I thought it was very refreshing, quite frankly. And, and he just didn't let it, couldn't go anywhere, because he was telling the truth. So, good or bad, I just thought it was for John Q. Public, I thought it was pretty interesting and pretty good. I think he did the right thing. I mean, not necessarily firing Kyle, because I have no idea about any of that, but he did the right way of explaining it. I thought he did a really good job at it.
Do you think that would deter anyone from wanting to work for the Maple Leafs in the future?
Are you kidding me? That's got to be the greatest job out there that anybody could ever have. I would think that if telling the truth is going to deter somebody from working, then I think we've got a bad system going. You could name any 10 executives that don't have a job right now, and you told them that you were going to be offered the Maple Leafs job, they would jump at it quicker than you can, than anything. So it's, I don't think at all that would deter anything.
We've been talking a lot about how this might affect the players in the day-to-day. Obviously, they're aware now of what's going on, but I wonder, in your experience of being a head coach, how much the players either know or are aware of the workings that, like, a president, a GM, and the front office go through. We're getting a little bit of a look behind the curtain here between Shanahan and Dubas and maybe MLSC's, the way they run it. But do the players really, like, have a pulse on that at all? Like, should this affect them so much heading into the offseason and the decisions that they personally have to make?
I really don't think it will affect the players at all. I mean, you know what? Every team I've been on, I'm sure players talk to GMs and GMs talk to players, but that's all real private one-on-one if they're looking to get their opinions on things. It doesn't get brought out to the mainstream. The coaches never hear about it. So, I mean, unless the general manager or president comes down and lets you know that, hey, I've just been talking to this guy, he doesn't like what's going on. But I don't think that happens. Maybe I'm naive a little bit, but for the most day-to-day workings of everybody, it's usually the coaches and the players. The GM is not always present. The president is definitely not always present. So it's mostly, I believe, players and coaches that have to, if a coach leaves in a certain thing, I mean, he's one of the players' favorites, or the player loves him, and then he would worry about whether his role was changed with the new guy coming in, type thing. But I don't know if it would change much with a GM leaving or a president leaving.
How about Sheldon Keefe in all of this? He's obviously now without a GM, somebody that he was tied closely to, and he still got his job, obviously, with the Toronto Maple Leafs. But the idea that a new GM might come in and have a different voice and have a different route of how he wants to run the team, is he in a difficult spot? And how does somebody just continue to roll through the offseason and try to, hold up hope that he will be here next year?
Well, I don't know if he's in a difficult spot. I mean, it's an unknown spot. I've been in the situation quite frequently, quite honestly, and you don't know what's going to happen. But hey, listen, he's a good coach. He's a really good coach. He's got the best record of any coach in the 4 years that he's been there, of anybody. I know us Torontonians and Maple Leaf alumni and everything, we want to win. But I mean, Sheldon he should understand that he is a coach, and whatever happens, I don't think anybody wants to leave out there dealing. So it's I'm sure whoever starts will let him know he's coming back or he's not coming back pretty soon.
We're chatting with Bruce Boudreau. This whole thing is kind of thrust under the spotlight, the inner workings of a front office and how a really effective front office operates. In your experience in the organizations you've worked for, what is like the best format for a front office in terms of how it runs? Is it a highly collaborative thing? Is it one person makes the decisions and it's sort of like autonomy is pretty clear who makes all the who's in charge and who's ultimately gonna hold the or throw down the gavel? In your experience, what should a front office look like and how should it operate?
Well, I don't know how the whole inner workings of it goes, but I do believe that the most important thing in a front office is the coach and the GM are on the same page, and they have much communication, and they talk about a lot of things back and forth. And they can disagree with each other, but it's the communication that works. The coach and his staff has got to all really communicate well together, and all be on the same page. Everybody's got to be, you can't have different fractions thinking one way and other guys thinking the other way. And but that all comes from communication from the top to the bottom. And if that works out well, if the communication works out well, usually the organization really works out well, and it definitely has an understanding of the staff works out well. I got to believe, and I have no clue, but it seems that Dubas and Keith have been together for a long time. I would venture to guess they talked every day, and they were on the same page in an awful lot of things, which is great, which is what you want in an organization. So, I think that's the best way to go about it. When you have somebody not liking what you do in anything in life, in any business, then all of a sudden, every time you do something that's a little bit off, they go, aha, that's what I don't like about them. And it becomes tough to work like that. So I just think that, the GM and the coach, they've got to get along and be on the same page all the time.
This is a bit of a tricky subject because, we're far more attentive now to mental health. But Kyle Dubas mentioned how taxing the job was and how taxing things were on his family. And Brendan Shanahan kind of used that, or at least his thought process evolved once he heard that, thinking about who the general manager of this team had to be. And it's tough, right? Because you shouldn't lose your job over that. But in hockey, if someone's heart isn't in it, is there like a place for them in such an important position? Like, it sounds a little callous, but I feel like it's true because you kind of have to be all in if you're going to run or be an important player or person inside of a hockey organization.
Well, I think you have to be all in no matter what you're doing. And it is tough, but you got to know your market and got to know what you're getting into too. So, it's tough, but I think everybody's all in all the time. I've never met any person in hockey that doesn't eat, breathe, sleep it, and, worry about it. And, a lot of times your family takes a back seat in the wintertime in hockey because the job is demanding, but it's the job you wanted. And, For coaches, for me, I knew it was the only thing I wanted to do when I was done playing. So, I know there's ups and downs with it, but you know what you're getting into. I can tell you that much. And it's tough, but it's way rewarding. And, I think everybody that takes the job knows what they're getting into.
We're talking to Bruce Boudreau, current NHL Network analyst, as well as a former NHL head coach. So you've been able to watch quite a lot of hockey here down the stretch. 2-3 series here in the conference finals. I don't know how many people were predicting that, and as well how many people were predicting the final four that we are seeing in terms of teams. What have you maybe learned the most watching and covering the playoffs this year from your vantage point?
Well, you know what? What I've learned is defense will win it almost every time. And the goaltending and the defense, I mean, it, in the regular season, it might not be look the best. But when it comes to playoffs, those teams that can defend and that are committed and they get the great goaltending usually end up on top. And you look at right now, Vegas is getting incredible goaltending from Aiden Hill, which is obviously a surprise, I think, to most people. And Bobrovsky is being out of this world with Florida. And those are the two teams that likely are going to end up playing for the Stanley Cup.
And you've coached and played in kind of more the traditional markets. But it must be nice, I think, personally, to see different markets get an opportunity to have their moment. I know some people are kind of torn on that subject. I wonder where you fall in having, you know, a Vegas, Florida, Carolina, and Dallas representation here down the stretch, and if that is hopefully good for growing the game.
Well, I think ESPN would like to have that dark in Chicago in there. But I do think that, especially in the South, like, I mean, this is going to grow the game in the South Belt in the United States. And that's probably, it's growing. It's done a great job. But, I mean, it can only get bigger and better. So, I mean, I'm all for like the growth of hockey and doing what you can to make hockey the best sport. No, we think it's the best sport, but the most, I don't know what the words I'm looking for. We just think it's the best sport, and to grow it and to make other people think it's the best sport would be great. And I have no problem with four new teams coming into the finals. It shows the parity of the league. And I mean, There's the toughness to win back to back. So it would not surprise me. Whoever wins this year is not going to win next year. But both these teams deserve to be where they are. It may not have looked like it for Florida, but it was only 2011 when the Los Angeles Kings ended up in eighth place, and then they dominated their way all the way to the Stanley Cup too. So I mean, it happens every few years, and I'm really happy for it. I think it's great.
So clearly the story in Florida has been Sergei Bobrovsky and this legendary run that he's on, putting himself in position to win the Conn Smythe Trophy, maybe even in a loss in the Stanley Cup final, given how good he's played. But you mentioned ESPN, and of course here in Sportsnet, they're going to be clinging to Matthew Tkachuk, because I guess he is like the personality. He is the guy who's most interesting among the players left, at least in my opinion, and I think a lot of people would share that opinion. What is it about Matthew Tkachuk that makes him so good? I mean, we asked his brother this a couple weeks ago, but this isn't the fastest guy. This isn't the most talented guy in terms of skill and shot and all those things, but he's a really dominant player. What makes him such a special player?
Well, I mean, he certainly is committed, and I just think he fights every time, not fight physically, but I mean, he battles every time he's out there. If his team, he cares about winning and losing. It reminds me a lot of Tiger Williams, quite frankly. Like, he'll do anything to win. He brings people into the fight if they're not in the fight. I mean, if he's losing, he'll try to do something to shake up the team to win. I mean, he's got tremendous talent. Nobody in this league gets over 100 points 2 years in a row without tremendous talent. So if he's saying that he's not fast and not can't stick handle or can't do this, he's sort of fibbing a little bit, because he can do all of those things. And, you know, I mean, he's got he certainly knows where to score, and that's the front of the net, and he takes no prisoners going there. And, like, I mean, you can see the energy when he scored those overtime goals. He's now got Florida into a situation where now if they score overtime, they just go right off the ice, and I think that's a galvanizing thing for a team. It's just something to grab onto. And I just think that's another reason that, I mean, he's leading the team offensively and from the goaltender out, and Bobrovsky's leading from the goaltender in. So, I mean, it's you also see, you know, Tkachuk blocking shots out there. means the package. He's the guy you build teams around. And usually you don't build teams around a winger, but you build teams around a center or a goaltender or a solid, a real good defenseman. But this is the kind of guy you can build a team around.
Yeah, he does it all, and I think Bussin 10 is going to be right up there among the legendary things in Florida Panthers lore when all this is said and done. But you mentioned it, like, he's a leader. He's the guy who's leading from the front. And if you look at the flip side of that, or you look at Jamie Benn last night, who kind of just, buries his team so early with that cross check on Mark Stone, it just really does underscore the importance of leadership and that steady hand from the guys who are going to be, as I mentioned, leading from the front.
You know what? Jamie Benn made a mistake, and that happens. Frustration gets to you, but he is a tremendous leader. Let's not throw his whole game down because he made a mistake. I mean, coaching against him for the last 15 years, I mean, he's a guy that if he's on, that team follows him anywhere. He's almost the original power forward in today's era, and that's why he won a scoring championship. I just, he made a mistake, and sometimes his temper got away from him. But, man, I would take him on my team every day. And I guarantee you, if he's not suspended next game, and I don't know what the ruling will be there, there'll be one of two things. If he's suspended, the team will play so hard for him, because they'll want him to play again. And if he's not suspended, he'll come and he'll play his best game of the series by far.
Unfortunately, yeah, that reaction, if it's going to come, and I believe you, I think it will come. Just the only problem is it wasn't immediate, and now the Dallas Stars are in an 0-3 hole. Bruce, this was fun. We enjoyed you on Raw on Monday, and we enjoyed this conversation this morning. Thanks so much for doing it.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you.
That's Bruce Boudreau, former NHL head coach, Jack Adams Award winner, and now hanging out with Jackie Redmond, our friend, on the NHL Network panel.
And ringside, the WWE. Monday Night Raw, was it?
Yeah, Monday Night Raw.
We'll see when he's at the next one. You might just get a season pass.
They're going to be at Hershey every year now can get the Bruce content going.
We got to keep, pushing him to get in there like manager. He got excited. You heard his little smile when he was like, oh, someone said I could be a manager.
I think it can work.
Yeah, he's got to be heel, though, because it's unexpected. He's such a lovely, jolly man. You can't have someone like that not be heel.
Yeah, for it to be effective, you need to be shot. Like, it's a shock value, right?
You got to do it.
You need him to hit someone over the head with a kendo stick. I obviously respect Bruce Boudreau. Mm-hmm. And the following Jamie Benn, unfortunately, they did follow him last night.
Yeah.
It was a complete disaster for the Dallas Stars. Like, the entire building was a disaster. Oh. The team played terribly. Jake Oettinger pulled. They all responded, it seems, negatively towards what Jamie Benn did.
It was minutes into the game, too.
It was just an awful, I don't know how that's possible, that your captain, your guy could do that. It put them in such a hole, and they were in one already, and you got fans littering the ice with beer. Like, it just was an ugly, ugly scene last night.
It was brutal. And I know our buddy Steve Dangle mentioned on Twitter that he reminded me that Jamie Benn was fined in back-to-back playoff games last year. So he's got a little bit of a temper, to say the least, but I think that this is more than a fine. Like, this is a pretty, pretty dirty play, and your team's down, and that sets the tone. And you saw how the fans responded later on in the game. You saw Max Domi running around trying to cross-check guys in the head. Like, it just got out of hand, and it was kind of embarrassing. I think there was a point where Toronto fans threw stuff on the ice. We remember that. I believe it was even against Dallas.
Yeah, jerseys have hit the ice in Canadian markets.
But, like, not even jerseys, like, garbage. Like, people were throwing full cans of beer on the ice.
I mean, Jersey was mad about the disallowed goals earlier on this season in a Toronto game, but that was in New Jersey.
Yeah. Nonetheless.
But, I mean, it happens. When it gets ugly, when fans, it does happen. We can't sit on our high horse and say, yeah, that doesn't happen in Toronto, because it does. It happens everywhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I've been quick to say the same thing. Like, I don't think there's one time when you're allowed to throw things on the ice, a hat trick. Okay? Don't throw full beer cans on the ice. Because I saw videos, I was, scouring the internet last night watching this, videos of people throwing from, the 300s and it landing on people in the 100s.
Yeah, it's not good.
You got to get position pitchers up in the 300s. You're not making it down there. Saw that with the Blue Jays last night. It's not great. Do you think both series are going to be swept here? That's a maybe a first ever.
Yeah, I think so, honestly. Like, I just...
Doesn't look like you're stopping either.
Bobrovsky's not letting up, and the whole thing on Carolina forever has been, well, they don't have enough high-end goal scoring, so they go out and address it. Max Pacioretty blows his Achilles. Evgeny Svechnikov out for the season. Like, they tried to... They recognize they had an issue. They tried to address it, and now those additions are not there. They're not available to them, and Bobrovsky just has not shown that he's going to let up, and Dallas just looks like it's completely self-destructing. And yeah, maybe they respond, but Vegas is still Vegas, and you're going to need to be better than just like, oh, we're going to bounce back and redeem ourselves in order to beat that team right now because they're playing at such a high level.
Well, our dream of two sweeps in the conference finals in hockey and in the NBA died last night with the Celtics.
A dream or a nightmare?
Well, it was kind of, it would be more a dream for like fun for like to talk about it for about 5 minutes.
Be good for sleep.
It would be good for sleep. Nonetheless, the Celtics stay alive. That game goes Thursday night in Boston, game five, but you have game four tonight, Hurricanes Panthers at 8 p.m. That could be the end of that series. And then a little bit of lengthier time to wait it out before maybe the Stanley Cup final, which could be next week or
I believe you're going to see Dierks Bentley in concert before game one.
Woo!
And that's it's 8 days from now. Like we could be in for a long break.
Okay, well, we've got some stuff to tee up in the Wake and Rake, including our FanEx Cup picks for the Chuck Schwab. Just a wild tourney. I don't think it really should classify as a FanEx Cup pick, but I need to get back in there. I'm losing $2,000 to $1,000 at this point because of Brent Gunning.
Well, I mean, I made the pick.
No. Oh. He dropped the ball for guy.
He does hate live guys. Like, hates
Yeah,
live.
Then it's understandable to pick Brooks.
Yeah, I don't think he was ever going to pick Brooks, which means I guess you could blame him.
So we've got those picks in the Wake and Rake. We take your Jays, Rays picks for tonight. Maybe the over? I don't think so tonight. No 20-1, I would predict, in this evening's game three of the Rays and the Jays. That's at 6:40. First pitch there tonight, and we'll look ahead at the final, maybe the final game of the Panthers-Hurricanes series. So send in your picks at 590-590. We'll get to that after the break.
Dive deep into Toronto sports and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With Ailish and Justin.
All right, it's a midweek Wake and Rake. Justin needs to win this one because he's hitting the links today. He's got to pay for
Are those two things related?
Well, I'm sure you would like a little extra change for the beer cart.
Yeah.
Coming around.
Yeah. So yesterday I go to the first range session of the year.
Nice.
Desperate, right?
You working out some kinks?
I suppose. Just it's more knocking rust off, right? Like that's what happens.
You gotta swing a few times.
I'm not a big range guy, and therefore I'm not like, I'm a hack. I'm a hack golfer. I'll just admit it.
How many bucks of balls did you go through?
Two.
Okay, that's
originally it was
going to
be one, and I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, that's tough when you go back and you're like, hey, can I get another one? They're like, you're trash, aren't you?
Yeah, and it was more so, okay, so I, time on my hands, right? Perusing YouTube, couple instructional videos that you think might help you.
What did you type in, just so I know, on the search bar? How to be better at golf.
I think I just saw it and then went rabbit hole. Like, I don't think I searched.
Okay.
Anyway, so I jotted some things down. The Notes app got going. I bring it up right now.
Yeah, yeah, share the Notes app. This is what Kipper writes his articles on, so it's kind of like you're almost Kipper here.
Okay, so I got to do a little scrolling here. But yeah, the Notes app is going, and I'm like, okay, these things I can, apply to my game here, and we can see if I can fix a few things.
Mine would say, head down. Don't watch the damn ball.
So those
I know that one, though, but I can never.
It's hard. It's hard. You want to know where that ball is going. Okay, so the irons.
Yes.
Oof. Number one, sternum over golf ball.
Sternum? What are you?
So that's more
kinesiology?
I am. that's more of an alignment thing. Yeah, so you want to center the golf ball.
Yeah, no, that sounds good to me. I agree.
Forearm alignment, I wrote down, and I was like, I don't know what I meant by that.
You just wrote forearm alignment?
Forearm alignment, yeah.
Like aligned which way?
I wasn't really able to apply this one. 5 o'clock is my next note. I think that means like you're supposed to do like 5 degrees of where your backswing should end up. So I was trying to like play around with that one.
These notes anyway, are trash.
This is the one that I think helped me though.
Okay.
Ring the towel. So this is the grip thing.
Oh, okay.
With ringing the towel is, okay, you're ringing at a towel.
Yeah.
It's two directions, right? Both your hands are moving in opposite directions
yes.
if you're going to ring a towel. If that grip is applied to the golf club, it may help you. And that's, it did actually feel really good.
Okay.
So that's the one thing. The irons, they felt good at the range. The driver, not so much, though.
So give me some driver tips, because, man, I'm in the same boat.
Okay, so this is the key one. We're both lefties.
Mm-hmm.
Left shoulder drop. So the left shoulder is supposed to be hanging down.
Yeah, that's never
happening. I tried to do that. Honestly, could not even make contact with the ball with my left shoulder dropped. So that's really why I had the second bucket, because I took about 25 swings with my driver and didn't make
drop.
Good contact once. So I abandoned that. The other ones are, you know, grip related. Not as interesting as ring the towel, but ring the towel.
I need a grip related tip.
I'm trying. Try the ring the towel.
So for both, for driver and irons.
I guess it would be for the driver as well.
Okay. So these notes are pretty...
That stabilized things a little bit, at least I think. I'll go out and play today and it won't apply.
Okay.
But driver's still in shambles. Irons may have figured out something.
Okay.
But how many times have I said in my life, I may have figured out my irons, and then I haven't figured out my irons.
Yeah, I was in a similar boat when I got my clubs fitted a couple weeks ago. The irons were looking dialed. Like, I don't know, I unlocked something special. I was feeling so good. I purchased those bad boys, put the card down, give me them. And then I got to the driver, and it wasn't working. And the lovely folks where I was getting fitted were like, it's kind of your swing. I'm like, well, let's fix that quick. But I had not spoken to these people before. And they're like, did you play hockey? I was like, yeah. They're like, you swing like you're taking a slap shot. I'm like, okay. Thanks.
Yeah,
I do. It needs to be a bit more fluid. I'm working on it. Okay, so I'm gonna hit the drive. I need to go to the range too, Justin. So I'll find maybe a little bit of a better YouTube rabbit hole to go down in terms of drivers. But yeah, everything else was looking good.
I think what I've kind of realized is like, if you get to a point where you've played for a while and you haven't made adjustments, it's kind of hard to reinvent
how you
do things.
Well, and I've never had like real lessons. Like I went with my brother when I was younger and played with him, and he was always so much better than me. And so he never really wanted, and like older brothers, he's not like, hey, sis, let's go and I'll teach you. He's like, figure it out, hurry up. Like people are waiting. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. So then I kind of abandoned it for a while. Now I'm getting back, you know, I should probably just do like one or two lessons just to like brush up some bad habits, but I'm also stubborn.
I've also told myself that, but I also think it'll be really hard for me to like just erase the muscle memory I have.
That's
right?
It.
Like I don't know if I could actually change the way I'm currently doing things. So I might just be terrible forever.
We need our buddy Adam Stanley to come give us some tips.
What do you think Stanley's shooting? Like, do you think he's just like dialed?
Oh, 100%.
Do you have to be like a certain level of golfer
about that.
To cover
if you
golf?
Cover golf and you're...
And you're a hack? Like, is it just bad form?
Well, I mean, you covered hockey.
Fair.
Oh, that was mean.
That was a little bit. I mean, if I was thrown into any situation, I'd feel the most comfortable playing hockey.
Yeah. I know.
But you're right. I mean, we've been in the press box a couple times recently.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's many like dialed in hockey players hanging out at press row.
I don't know. A couple, for sure.
Like to the former players, for sure.
Enjoy the golf, and that takes getting better at it, though, because it's not. If you're not playing well, it's hard to enjoy it. You just got to look and be like, it's a beautiful day out here. I got a bevy, and I'm in the sun, but also, why can't I hit this damn ball straight?
The bevies help.
The bevies help. All right, so best of luck today, Justin. We'll get an update. You got a little Wednesday golf action going on. Hopefully, I'm joining next week. I'm going to grab my new clubs, which I haven't used yet, and hit the course this weekend. I've already solidified that.
You go to the driving range first?
Well, hopefully I pick a place with a driving range. I kind of like doing that. Just warm it up, get out there, not two trips. So that's to come. All right, let's keep talking golf, and let's do our Chuck Schwab picks. Does that count for the Wake and Rake?
We already played the music.
We did. Wow.
You want to play it again?
I blacked out. Nope. All right. Charles Schwab is this weekend. We have the Block Party making a debut. He will be selected. Why don't we just take him as a team pick? Because obviously, I think he's like 40,000.
We both pad our accounts if he wins it?
Yeah, then if he wins the Charles Schwab,
everybody gets money.
Then we got to, first of all, get this guy on the show, and second of all, we'll follow him around at the Canadian Open. It's 40,000 to 1 odds.
400 to 1, yeah. $1 wins you $400.
It's worth it. Just $1. Okay.
That's not even a just $5.
All right. I'd give $5. Okay. So I believe I get to go first because...
Just as a quick refresher here, are we doing two from the top, two from the mid-range, one long shot?
I like wish we had picked a different...
Okay, let's change the format. To be honest, I made it very simple for Gunnar because we kind of did it. I gave him the information right before we went into the next break. So we just did like a regular draft.
Oh, let's just do that. Why are we doing 50 plus?
Okay, just do a regular draft.
Let's just pick 5 players.
But my thing with that was, okay, every week we're winning because we're picking from the top of the draft.
Well, that's more fun. I like winning.
Okay. I just thought if someone hits a 60 to 1 at some point, it would be electric. But now we're probably never going to do that.
Okay. So
unless you hit Michael Block.
Do you want to? Well, if I hit Michael Block, we retire.
Let's do 4. Not, it doesn't matter where they are.
I love this.
And then a long shot each, a Canadian each.
I love that. Okay. Jordan Spieth, plus 1,400. He has won the Charles Schwab before. He's been a runner-up 3 times. He's finished outside the top 10 just twice in 10 appearances. He loves this course. I'm worried a little about that lingering wrist injury, but if he's going to win, it is here. And plus 1,600 or 1,400 will give me a little bit of a lead. So Jordan Spieth is my first selection for the Charles Schwab.
I'll match you at the Chuck Schwab with Victor Hovland. Of course, he was in the final pairing with Brooks Koepka last weekend. He could have won that golf tournament. He's still waiting for his major, major breakthrough. I guess he would be okay with winning the Charles Schwab Challenge this weekend.
Yeah.
So he's in good form. He's 14-1 as well. I will take Victor Hovland as my first pick.
Okay, I'll take Colin Morikawa. Plus 1,600. He's been knocking at the door. He hasn't won yet on the PGA Tour this year, which is crazy. I think he's got 4 top 10s. But knocking at the door, it is time. And plus 1,600 will also help me. So
I will go Justin Rose, 25-1. Justin Rose was also very good at the PGA Championship last weekend. He was in the hunt. He's been playing very well. I will take Justin Rose, 25-1.
Okay. We're just ripping through this, eh?
Yes. I'm
trying to type and... Listen to the text line giving me tips here. Tommy Fleetwood. I like Tommy Fleetwood. Plus 3,300. Yeah, I'll take him now. I should have picked someone else in the meantime, but it's too late.
That's okay. I'll give you a chance at redemption there because I'm going with the favorite. I'm in position now as the lead, as the person in front. I don't need to chase money. I will take Scottie Scheffler.
Plus
450.
Plus 450 is crazy.
Scottie Scheffler plus 450. Listen, it's I'm not going to create much separation if Scottie Scheffler wins, but does he have the best chance to win this tournament? Yeah, so I'll take him.
I'm going to go further down the list here. Kurt Kitayama, T4 at the PGA Championship, plus 6,000. And that's basically... the reasoning. I liked what he put up at the PGA Championship in the final round there. I think he was like shot like 65 or something, 62 or something crazy. He was 65. But he looked good to finish out there at Kurt. So Kurt Kitayama.
He's went toe to toe with a big name before. Rory McIlroy beat him earlier this year. That's your fourth pick?
Yep.
So one more from the anywhere tier. I'll go Cam Davis. He was also very good last weekend.
I like that one.
He's 35-1. Picked him as a first round leader last week. Wasn't that good early on in the tournament, but he found his stride as well. So I'll add him to the card this week.
Okay. I'll take a previous winner then to round it out. Sam Burns, defending champ, plus 2,800.
No, you got to go beyond 50.
Well, Kurt is then.
All right. All right.
Yeah. Well, that counts.
Yeah.
Okay. So Sam Burns, plus 2,800, Kurt plus 6,000.
Yep.
So that counts for me. I've got Spieth, Morikawa, Fleetwood, Sam Burns, and Kurt Kitayama.
I'm going Sepp Straka, 90-1.
What?
Sepp Straka was in the mix over the weekend at the PGA Championship. 90-1 sticks
out
as a pretty good number for a guy who's...
For that guy.
Yeah, but he's not a scrollable name.
That's crazy.
He's a pretty good player. So
all right, buddy.
I'll take Sepp.
Sepp Straka, a name for the ages. Okay, so let me type that in for you.
So we got to find some Canadians here.
Yeah, where's Corey Connors? Not playing this weekend or what?
Not seeing Corey.
He was looking real good for some of that tournament.
We may have to abandon the Canadians because I'm not seeing...
Are there any Canadians playing?
Any.
Well, they're saving it up for the big weekend coming up, you know?
Yeah.
I truly see zero Canadians. Do you?
Okay, let's abandon the Canadians then. I don't see any.
Wow.
Nick Taylor's one.
Oh, well, we can both have Nick Taylor then.
And
yeah, I'm only seeing Nick Taylor.
That's it. Okay, so abandon the Canadians.
That's
fine.
How
about showing up, fellas?
Wow, shots fired. Okay, my rundown of my team for the Charles Schwab. Spieth, Morikawa, Fleetwood, Burns, and Kitayama.
And I'm going with Scottie Scheffler, Victor Hovland, Justin Rose, Cam Davis, and Sepp Straka, 90-1.
Plus, we both get the block party. Which is...
And Nick Taylor.
And Nick Taylor.
Because someone showed up.
Good sharing. All right. Best of luck to us all. That tees off tomorrow. Chad in Peterborough says, take Justin Rose. Rose is a previous winner in great form. Chad from Peterborough.
Thanks, Chad.
Matt in Chatham says, Chapstick on the driver face will fix all your slicing problems.
Wow. Next time I hit the range, I'll try that.
Okay. One to two things at a time on the range. A full note list will crush your two buckets. And then somebody sent a link for Rick Shields on YouTube. Informative and lots of fun.
Oh, Rick Shields.
We'll take a look. Thanks,
everybody.
That's
a good testimonial for Rick Shields.
There you go. That might be Rick Shields listening. Okay, Wake and Rake. We've got two suggestions here. Wow, people just really mailing it in. Corey from Port Hope here is our loyal listener, though. My Wake and Rake pick today. I like the Texas Rangers money line versus the Pirates. Perez is on the mound for the Rangers, and they have a rested bullpen.
Okay.
And then we've got Jag and Scarborough saying, the Wake and Rake pick I like is the under for Carolina and Florida, which I know isn't the fun pick, but most likely I believe in. So I kind of also feel that way.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I like that one a lot.
I got to check my Twitter. Did Ron and Juliana not message me? Oh, they just got it in here. Whew, I was nervous. I thought, was something wrong? No, there they are. Good morning. For today's anchor, I'll take the Florida Panthers money line as I think they will end the series today. Jules will take Bo Bichette over total bases. That's a good one.
It's not you didn't call. It's you didn't text in your...
I was worried I might have to message them, but they're good. Florida Panthers money line and Bo Bichette over bases.
Okay, so what do we like? Do we like the under?
I like the under because I also think the Panthers could close it out today, but the games have been tight anyway. So I think that's kind of checking two boxes.
What's your pick?
Okay, so I'm actually going to go Blue Jays, Rays over 4.5 first five inning line. We talked about this during the break. It's Kikuchi and Shane McClanahan, who, I mean, traditionally they shouldn't be high scoring. Why did you convince me on this again?
Well, Kikuchi's. I don't know if I convinced you, but Shane McClanahan. The Blue Jays have had some success against him. He's a very, very good pitcher, but the Blue Jays have had some success.
Oof, it's a risky
pick. And you say Kikuchi, I mean, despite his turnaround, despite him being serviceable this year, I mean, he is hittable. He is definitely hittable.
And the McClanahan 7-0 with a 2.05 ERA.
This is kind of a play on Tampa having some success against Yusei Kikuchi.
And maybe it's a play on the Blue Jays' bats being hot after getting 20 runs yesterday.
And a pleasant surprise pays. That if they get at McClanahan, then you win. But also, Kikuchi might be a bit of a track meet.
Okay, this is kind of going against all reasoning and logic and just more of hopeful speculation. But let's do it.
Okay.
Over 4.5 first five inning line, Jays and Rays. Do our best.
Okay, I'm going to a game I surely won't watch. But Zach Gallen has been the best pitcher in baseball based on Fangraphs WAR. He's pitching in Philadelphia this afternoon. So I guess I risk blowing up the parlay before we can settle down tonight, before I'm off the golf course for sure. But Gallen's been good. And Ranger Suarez has been a good pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies. So I'm going to take the under first five, 4.5. I'm going to bet on Gallen pitching well. And I'm going to bet on Ranger Suarez managing or minimizing the damage that the Arizona Diamondbacks could do. So Diamondbacks Phillies under 4.5 runs, -115, I believe it.
It is now -145.
Oh, there you go.
People are listening.
They got to it real quick,
that's okay.
I guess.
Lock it in.
That's fine with me. It means that it's probably the right pick, at least on paper.
Okay, so under 4.5 in the first five in the Diamondbacks Phillies, over 4.5 in the Blue Jays Rays first five inning line, and then under 5.5 in Hurricanes and Panthers? Is that where we're going to go?
Big over-under day. Yeah, I think that's the right pick.
Okay, so altogether that's plus 497 for your Wake and Rake today.
There we go.
Best of luck.
So I'm golfing today. What's your plan here?
It's Wednesday. I don't have many plans.
No?
Actually,
you always have a loaded social schedule.
I've found a little doggy daycare to bring Bunker to.
Mm.
And he has this, like, a little, not an audition, but kind of, like, he has to go in and meet them to make sure that he's a good fit.
Right.
That's today.
Don't want to mess up the vibe.
Right. Like, they obviously you can't just sign up your dog online and not bring him in to meet. So
now, is that to give you a break? Is that to give your dog some exercise?
It's both. It's both. So it's a little like doggy daycare where they also play and whatever, of course. But there might be a time where I'd like to go, for example, golfing on Saturday and not leave him at home all day. So there's a cute little doggy daycare at Trinity Bellwoods area that I'm going to bring him to.
There you go.
And he's got a little audition, a little meet and greet.
Freeing up some time. How is Bunker doing? You haven't
stunning.
Really updated us.
He's a wonderful, wonderful dog.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Has anything, like, have there been big life changes for him? Because, you know, it's those first few months, first few weeks, there are changes weekly.
He spent a weekend at the grandparents and absolutely loved it. I thought he didn't want to come home. I was a little worried.
Ooh.
Life was good.
Still impressionable.
He's spoiled. Yep. He's doing well.
He must have got a lot of treats.
We're working on leash walking. So if there's anyone with some, you know, tips, he's only 4 months now, but the leash skills are just below average.
Like my driver?
Yes.
You reach a certain point where you can't fix that?
Yes.
My dog is not a good walker.
Well, the thing is, he doesn't want to go. Like, we'll be at the park and I'm like, come on, Bunker, let's go. He just doesn't want to leave. So I need to, and I don't want to make him like just treat dependent where I bring out a treat and he does everything for a treat. But at this point, I'm like trying to get him to come home. We've been at the park for 3 hours. Got the Jays games on, Bunker. And so I'm.
No wonder why you're trying to get
him. He doesn't want to walk. So tips, please, at Ailish Forfar for getting the dog to go, you know. But yeah, the doggy daycare will be nice this weekend. I get to hit the links and he gets to play and meet some new friends. So he's the big audition today. So fingers crossed. I'm going to brush him nice, make sure he smells good.
If he doesn't behave, you're not golfing this weekend. Then we're not golfing on
Wednesdays.
The good
thing about Toronto is there's probably, I'd say, truly 30 different doggy daycares within a stone's throw. But this is the one I've chosen. And I
like something tells me behavior is important, but like cuteness is probably like criteria as well.
Oh, they're
like
gonna love him.
The person that like greets you is probably gonna be overwhelmed and they're just gonna immediately take Bunker.
Yeah. I did have to retire the Toronto Maple Leafs bandanas he was wearing for a while there. He is now moved on to he's got
them.
A Blue Jays collar.
Okay, there
yeah,
you go.
Yeah. That was a gift from Leanne. So thanks for Leanne for sending that
Shout
in.
Shout out Leanne.
Anywho, that's your Wake and Rake for today. Big game tonight. Could it be the end of the Carolina Hurricanes season? Do we see a sweep? The first team in the NHL Stanley Cup final? We will see. You got Kikuchi and Shane McClanahan on the mound tonight, 6:40 first pitch. And we will see you guys tomorrow on Baby Friday.